You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, in the first segment, we try to resolve the PR nightmare that is the new studio. Also, Christian Pulisic is firing shots at everybody at U.S. soccer. Also, Italia, che pasa?
Tutti a casa.
Also, the NIT World Cup, is that going to happen? Would anybody go? And also, Julian Gressel, congratulations. Oh.
Yeah, and in the second segment, another new studio. We record the second segment after the USA versus Portugal match. So if you watch that, don't worry about it, and you listen to the first segment. We got you covered in that second segment. We talk about the Weston McKennie era, and also we talk about
Horvat!
That and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah!
We're still here!
We're still here!
They let us back in the building!
Welcome to the show! We're still in the studio that you despise.
Oh, they love! The fans had no hardcore visceral reaction to us being in a studio, which I think is still below us. Okay, that's how much talent I think we have.
That's right, everybody. So thank you again for listening to the Cooligans. Welcome to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
That is your name, and my name is Alexis Guerreros.
And that's right. And yes, we are still above Madison Square Garden. We don't know how we got here either. but yes, we are in Cumulus Studios at Stage 17.
Every time we get in the elevators, I'm like, man, security's going to be, as soon as the doors open, security's going to be like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
We finally heard the podcast.
some alarm's going to go off. And yeah. Like, oh, no, these guys were on the no wanted list. The unwanted list.
Not fly enough list. So you can't be up here.
But this is, again, we're still kind of adjusting. We're still learning
the kinks out.
Yeah. You know? we're trying to figure
out what's allowed, what's not allowed.
Exactly. Shirts off, shirts on.
I mean, yeah.
Who knows?
We've been doing this in our underwear for years.
And all of a sudden, they try to tell us we can't work in our underwear.
We got pants?
What kind of oppression did we, fall into?
I will not have you Daffy Duck shame me. Is that the one with no pants?
Daffy Duck. I think both of them. I think both of them.
Both of them? None of them wore pants?
None of them wore pants.
Oh, that's Jesus.
I mean, ducks don't really wear pants. It's not really the thing.
They also don't talk. Why is the pants the thing that you can't get with?
we didn't really announce before we started recording here that, because we
would be happening.
That's what we haven't, because we didn't
alert anybody.
Because we weren't sure. We weren't sure that anything was going to happen.
Right.
So rather than get anybody's hopes up.
Which also goes to show a little bit about us, where we're just like, until the episode is done, do not tell anybody what is happening. We don't want this to get ruined.
Exactly. So, so we were just being cautiously optimistic.
That's one way to put it.
Right? Yeah. So we were waiting till we got till we actually stepped in the door.
Cynical and disbelieving.
Till we saw the light on the camera turn on, we were like, okay, I think we can let people know that we're here now.
I'd say once we saw the Cooligans flag, we're like, they're going to throw paint on us, aren't they? Like, this is just for the photos. So everyone knows who is it that we just mocked.
Exactly. And there was, after we took some photos and saying, hey, we're in a new studio. Oh boy. Did our fans go a little haywire?
They went buck wild. I couldn't tell. At first, I was like, "Oh, this is a cool, sarcastic way." And then at one point, I'm like, "I think they're worried for us.
I think we've wronged them somehow.
I think we just disrespected our fan base."
So, because we didn't get to address this last week,
no.
Let's just get a couple things out of the way.
Yeah,
we are here, and it is very exciting for us to be in this fancy studio with all this stuff.
Regardless of what you think, everything will change.
We are not the same people. I don't want to worry anybody, but just to let you guys know,
shed our skin, we are now butterflies. Is that what happens?
No. The old studio is not really, it's not going anywhere.
No, it's still there. My wife hates the cards. They're still on the wall.
The soccer cards are still on the wall.
Essentially, we can't dress this studio up the way we want to because
we'll find a way. But no, yeah.
But we will.
Miley Cyrus isn't going to come here to do like an interview with WPLJ and be like, "Why are there Cooligan stickers everywhere? And who are the Cooligans?"
It would be cool. It would just be cool to hear Miley Cyrus say the Cooligans. That'd be pretty.
That'd be a new drop
in her. Hey, you guys, I really love the Cooligans.
I smoked weed for 3 years, but I smoked enough for an entire.
Her voice is so right. Her singing voice is gorgeous. Yeah. Her talking voice is very, very raspy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not into Miley Cyrus' music?
I don't know anything about it besides the Party in the USA song. I've heard that once or twice.
She's a very, very talented musician. Yes, she is.
I mean, she did do
a little bit of the. Some people sort of accused her of this like hip hop appropriation. That she did, where she just
saw the one video where she's like, "What is it, Jay's on my feet?"
Yeah,
yeah, she did that with Mike Will Made It. Mafia.
Yeah, and Mike Will Made It. So Juicy J, everybody,
Juicy J, that's right, not the one with the baby arm, the other one.
What?
Paul, DJ Paul, is that his name?
Who are you talking about?
One of them has a baby arm. He calls it a baby arm. I'm not offending anyone. He calls it his baby arm. He has a smaller arm.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Prince Paul? Is it Prince Paul?
It might be Prince Paul. It's not a Juicy. It'd be weird to have a Juicy J and a Juicy Paul.
I'd say Juicy DJ Paul.
It might be
Prince Paul. I'm sorry that I'm forgetting this, but also it's Southern hip hop, so it's not that important. That's literally just for footy mob.
So we can't really go too crazy with how we dress this place up, but we will do things to bring some of the old, I wouldn't say the old studio. The other studio, we'll bring it with us.
Adjacent studio. We're going to be putting stuff around, so you will be given signals.
That we are who we are.
By the way, we do not need help. Please don't send anyone.
So we should at least mention the video that Jay Riddle made,
which is absolutely hilarious,
which is incredible. It's a beck and call to all Cooligans fans to see if the Cooligans are in danger. Which thank you for that.
Not let it happen. To not let this studio happen. I'm trying to pull up the video here. Do you have it already? Or
I do have it somewhere. I can get it. But regardless, I mean, I know he Jay put out just a lot of he asked a lot of
meme-bombed us, which
pointed
is
questions,
hilarious.
Just really about what happened, who. Where are they?
Who approved it?
Who approved it?
That was
it?
A big one.
who did we sell out to?
Right.
Is Gulati involved?
Is Gulati involved?
Is Matt Doyle involved? You know, because there's so many,
It's not just Matt Doyle. It's Matt Doyle's evil cats. Because if you don't know, Jay, which you will see in a second, is very much a dog person.
Let's at the very least, let's play the video so you can hear it because it's too funny to not share with everybody. So here, this is Jay Riddle from Atlanta playing, worrying about the Cooligans.
Being himself.
Listen, y'all, this is Jay Riddle. I'm coming at you right now because the Soccer Cooligans just tweeted out some very disturbing information. I think they've been sold to MLS. Maybe Matt Doyle and his evil cats have purchased him or acquired them somehow. I don't know what kind of dirt they have on them. But this is an outrage. What happens to the soccer cards? What happens to the soccer cards, guys? What are you doing with the scarves? There's no scarves. It's just a flag waving in the background. You have a flag now? Guys, we have to organize and make sure that this is legit, that they haven't been taken hostage by Gulati. Come on, guys.
That is so funny. What I love about it is people paid attention. People listened. People started tweeting more. This became a huge thing. And it was hard. It was like I tried to get involved, but it took on a life of its own.
No, at that
all we could do is sit back and watch.
Yeah, at that point, I was just like... thank you for the concern, but just the fact that obviously this is a big deal, right? Like moving to another studio, it's a big deal for us. We were very excited about it, and the fact that some people nobody was prepared for it. That's really what it was.
We didn't mention it, but again, we talked about this because we weren't sure they were actually going to let us in here. So Well, the funny thing is the amount of shock you guys had, so did we. Yeah, we were, when we finished, we were like, did they even record any of that?
When I was watching Jay's video, I was like, yeah, he's right. Somebody got to do something about this.
Somebody help them. And by them, I mean us.
But thank you for that. Thank you for the concern. Anybody who tweeted at us, thank you for being emotionally invested in what's going on.
This is going to be big for us. Like the thing I think, first of all, I love the fact that people care. Mm-hmm. You know, when somebody worries about you, I think that's important, right? That shows they love you. but I think what's important also is that this studio...
Just stare directly into that camera and say what you just said to your dad.
Who are you? Did I say that? Imagine I just started crying. That'd be hilarious. Well, that's good for ratings. Maybe I should. But what I'm saying is, like, this is going to give us an opportunity to interview people. Like, legitimately, we talked a little bit about it. But already I sent, you know, I hit up a few people saying, hey, we want to interview you. And here's where. And I heard back like, oh, that looks great. Which if we would have done that with just the two of us sitting as close as possible in front of soccer cards, I'm not sure you would have gotten that same reaction. So
exactly. So I'm gonna work on trying to get like maybe a collage of soccer cards behind us.
I would say we just do that.
I think it'd be fun. All right. So a lot of work to be done to make
a lot of positivity surrounding the Cooligans.
Exactly. So let's obviously. MLS playoffs are on a little bit of a hiatus because of the international break, and oh boy, yeah, and you know, we talked about that 2 weeks ago, right? About the Grant Wall suggestion of changing the playoff structure, but for now we live with it, and
this is who we are. For right now, this is what we have to do.
But we are we're recording this segment before the friendly
USA game
against Portugal, which I'm sure they're gonna dominate, which I don't know if is Ronaldo going to play?
I don't think so. I think it's a lot of the younger players, and I can pull up the roster, but it's still an incredibly skilled roster. This is not the Portugal of old. These are all the kids who I think have been inspired by Ronaldo.
Sure. Well, they also just won the Euros. I mean, they're doing fine.
I mean, but you saw how they won the Euros, you know? I mean, it was like, you know, the same way, you know, Sweden beat Italy, you know, it wasn't pretty, you know, but this is a very, very skilled team. The USA.
I know Ronaldo had a baby with his
fourth
kid.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's got money to feed them, you know?
Is that okay? Sure. Yes. And he has something to make them too.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they're all with the same lady though.
I don't think so either.
No one lady could be that lucky, you know?
So I know he just had, his girlfriend, because he's not married, right?
I think it's just his girlfriend.
Just
he's something. Trying to have more babies than Messi has Ballon d'Ors, I think.
Sure, well, good luck. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be tough.
He's like, what do you think, Messi? I mean, you got...
Messi has how many kids? Two?
I think he has two.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're both taller than him.
But his girlfriend just had that's hilarious. His girlfriend just had a kid, so I don't know if he's going to make this game against the USA.
I mean, I've never had a kid, but I would assume the first thing you want to do is just like, all right, you guys take care of it. And by guys, I mean his entire staff that he has at home.
So we're going to talk about in the next segment. We'll talk about the US friendly against Portugal. Nobody's really. I mean, it's a friendly. You know, how intense are we going to get about it? But we should address at the very least that, yeah, it is
how did we look? I think that's what's important.
And seeing all the new young players.
The score will not matter.
Sure. I'm just hoping it's not a very, very bad scoreline.
When you get back, wait till the third segment, and you will see if I hold true to that statement, whether I don't care about the score, because I may be very upset. I may be very happy. If we win, I will treat it as though we won. If we lost, I'll be like, don't worry about it, okay? Because the score doesn't matter. Just so you know, that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Well, we're only doing two segments today, not three, you just said.
Oh, the third segment. True. Second segment. My bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because somebody's listening is like, and they would have been like, "Dude, what's that? Look,
they cut it out.
They're in a new studio. Yeah. You see, they've already changed. They're lying to us."
Someone holding two dogs is just gonna go off on us.
So, So we do want to see what the young players are going to do. So, I mean, there's a lot of who's getting opportunities. Weston McKennie.
Tyler Adams is going to be in there. Sargent got called in. I don't think he's going to start, though. I don't think he's even going to play.
Sure. I know C.J. Sapong,
got his... Ale Bedoya, so there's two from the Union. Mm-hmm. Who else? Who's the defender? John Brooks, who we've seen before. I'm hearing had a tough season. I don't really watch that much Bundesliga, but I'm hearing
he was injured, so he's finally back. He's at
Hertha Berlin.
No, he got sold to Wolfsburg.
Hamburg?
No, not Hamburg. The
Hoffenheim? Not Werder Bremen.
Not Werder Bremen. I just don't know the German name, but they're the...
Salino and Barnes?
Is it Wolfsburg? Wolfsburg, right?
Is it Wolfsburg?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Tromany Glazer? that's a deep cut for anyone from New York, by the way. Tromany Glazer.
Yeah, at Wolfsburg. Okay. So these are the people we just want to see, like, how they're going to play. And we don't really know what to expect because all the normal dudes that are normally there are not going to be playing.
Do you think Sarakan is going to bring in more of a youth movement? Do you think he's going to bring in some of the older players?
I think it's going to be my guess is more of a younger lineup because I mean, what's there to lose? Just see what they got.
Point.
Yeah. It's just like
bring out the U-12s.
Lose 12-0. Who cares? Just
who
go.
Who gives a shit?
We'll see. Can let them take a couple touches?
Yeah.
Are they comfortable playing against Nani? You know, can they handle themselves?
You know what I say we do? Do what Italy wouldn't do. Bring out Giovinco.
Bring out Giovinco.
Yeah. What if it's a friendly? We can't get in trouble. What are they going to do? Tell us we can't go to the World Cup?
I dare you tell me.
Yeah. Look me right in the face and tell me I can't go to the World Cup.
You know what? You can't fire me. I ain't going to the World Cup.
This company just got dissolved.
Also, let's talk about that because that's huge news and probably makes some Americans feel a little bit better about their current situation. But
it also increases the number of pretty great teams that you expect to see in a World Cup that will not be there.
The year 2017, a lot's changing. Now, everybody's losing their jobs.
Everyone's losing their jobs. Everybody's losing their minds. Nazis are back. Racism is back.
Okay.
Teams that normally make the playoff will not make
people
the playoff.
People exposing themselves when they definitely should not be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our teens hot. 2017 has tried to answer that question.
It is absurd.
It is ridiculous.
So many up is down. Down is up. The upside down in Stranger Things. Yeah. Everything's happening.
Presidents are demogorgons. It's the whole nine.
Italy. Italia. Not going to the World Cup.
Look, I don't even think they made it out of the group stage in the last like two anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so this idea
but they also
that
did win the World Cup.
No, the Euros.
No, they won the World Cup. Italy won the World Cup in 2006, right?
Won it four times. That's a big amount.
It's for them to completely go from in about 15 years from winning the World Cup to not even qualifying for it is insane.
The U.S. has done better than that because we didn't even win the World Cup. So we haven't fallen that far. Okay?
So that's right.
And obviously, I know they didn't win the Euros. What I'm saying is Conte made them look good in the Euros, right? But what did they do? They kind of, you know, piecemealed a very defensive team that stuck around a long time. And everyone's like, oh, Catenaccio's gone. That's not the way they play anymore. Not only is that not the way they play anymore, that's how you did well in the Euros. And you could have used it to get in the World Cup.
Yeah, I don't know.
They didn't score one goal
in across the two legs against Sweden, which you
Sweden.
Everybody scores against Sweden.
That's buddy, missing Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Sweden, who by the way started at least played an MLS player.
Yeah, Gustav Svensson from the Seattle Sounders. Yeah.
Come on now.
MLS, that means that MLS is better than Italy. That's it. Not even just the team. The country.
Not even the Serie A. Yeah. MLS has better food than Italy.
That's it. Italy gets knocked down a peg on every world ranking.
Everything.
In every category. This is...
Singers. MLS. Go to MLS. I bet you Jordan Moore has got a beautiful voice.
Andrea Bocelli, you're out of here.
Yeah. Luciano Pavarotti, take a seat, buddy. Let's see what Jesse Marsh can do.
So, if people saw the second leg of this match, just very surprising. Look, Italy had I mean, not only did they have incredible amount of chances, but look, I don't know whether to be sad for Italy or happy for Sweden. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what should be more of one or the other.
Sweden came out in their patented 5-5-0 formation. I have never in my life seen, like, I don't know. It looked to me like, remember, like, back in the days, like, you would see it in, like, school books, the way that, like, firefighters used to be, like, brigades. It was guys standing next to each other passing buckets because they didn't have the hose. Yeah. That's what it looked like. It looked like two rows of that, all wearing yellow and blue. It was absolutely, it was fun to watch because you were like, something is that, people just heading the ball. People are doing bicycle kicks to clear the ball. People going absolutely nuts. People pretending to hit the ground. Italians taking out Swedish players. It was fun to watch. It was not beautiful football in any stretch of the imagination. And at the end, I hate to be a troll, but yeah, you lost. You haven't done that well in the last few anyway. Clearly, you need the same thing that I think the U.S. needs, which is a house clearing.
Promotion relegation in Serie A. We need
Bring it up.
Immediately. Yeah, yeah. What is going on?
We need to get Don Garber out of the Serie A.
Don Garber is ruining Italian soccer.
You've said it since the first episode.
Okay.
Clearly, that's not the issue there. I think youth development, I had a bit of an argument with some guy online who was like,
and this is always going to end up well. You arguing with some guy online, I'm sure you would totally respected his opinion.
By the way, who was saying some extremely xenophobic stuff? Shocker. But he's actually a smart guy. He wasn't trying to be like, he didn't realize what he was saying. Well, maybe he did, but he was saying like, what we need to do is limit the amount of foreign players because we're not getting as many opportunities for Italian players. Yes. Guys from Atlanta. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. It was Screen Captain shared a bunch his argument, and I didn't need to get involved. There was only like 750 replies, but I was like, I think they need a 751st. And I was just like, come on, man. You know, how about we do what Germany did, which isn't to say kick all the foreign players out. Why don't we revenue share and not we, why don't they revenue share and make that for youth development? It worked for Germany. And he was like, oh, but only 25% of the players in the Serie A were from, Italian academies. I'm like, you're making my point. You know, so many people are freaking out. Italians are freaking out. They said they need to get the foreign players out. They want to take down, the stronghold that Juventus has on the Serie A. They're saying that Italians aren't good anymore. There's all this stuff going back. Guys, it's the same issue that America's having. Develop your youth players.
Look, it's difficult to just be like, this is the exact problem, and
it's not that difficult because Germany showed everyone in the world, and by the way, has released like, they've released like papers and
Germany
everything.
Has always done everything right, and they've never
done anything wrong.
Slighted the world in any way.
Listen, if there's one thing we can take away from their constant detailing of what they do, is to say, let's see what are some of the stuff that's good that they've done since at least the 60s. Watch some of that out of your mouth. So since the 60s, and one of the things they did was in 2010, they were like, hey, hold up. We fucked up. Let's fix soccer. Yeah. Or in 2007.
That is how Germans speak. They're like, hold up, everybody.
Hold up.
Hold up, everybody.
Hold up.
What are we doing out in Berlin right now?
Yeah.
Because
Sven. Hold up.
So, I imagine this is way more disappointing, obviously, in Italy than it is, in the United States.
It's a national embarrassment.
It is absurd. And then seeing the interview with Buffon, Gianluigi Buffon, just...
kills you.
Yeah, you just... You feel terrible. Watching it, it was interesting. While I was watching ESPN FC and watching Gab Marcotti, who is, I believe, Italian, and talking about how sort of distraught he was after the result.
Right.
But he did sort of mention about the poor results that Italy have had in past World Cups and in the Euros and other European tournaments and things like that. And one thing that was interesting was that he did mention there was just a lot of old players. I mean,
this generation needed to be folded. Yeah. I think it's the same issue with America.
And I'm saying, that's the similarity that we see, that they were Buffon is 39 years old. I mean,
come on,
he's He's good. I mean, but
he's great.
But you, when you see a guy who Donnarumma, right, for AC Milan, yeah, and seeing like that, there's other players that waiting in the wings.
Donnarumma is 18 years old. There's not one goalkeeper that y'all built in 20 years.
Yeah, they develop. They're like, you know, let's wait a generation before we develop another guy.
We don't need goalkeepers. We have Chiellini. Okay, he stops everything.
You know what? The weirdest thing about Buffon to me is that he's only 39. He looks like he's 53. He's the guy.
Too, if you've played every game for the last 20 years.
The man's been through a lot. Yeah, I just feel so bad.
He does look like he just buried his partner, like a cop who just buried his partner.
Constant 5 o'clock shadow. Yeah. He shaves. It's immediately, you know.
Just grows back out.
Yeah, he's immediately like just working at a desk overtime as soon as he shaves. Yes, it's just.
You don't realize this. He's also been an accountant this entire time. It's very stressful.
He does Juventus accounting. Yeah. You
know. Well,
yeah, a lot of
he's a very good one because they don't pay for shit. The other thing I want to say, somebody said this online. I didn't make this up, but hey, look, in his last international game, still got a clean sheet. You know? Not bad.
Good for him.
All right. All right, Buffon.
Go out on a high note. Hey,
come on, buddy. Put that frown upside down, Julian Luigi Buffon.
But yeah, disappointing for Italy. A lot of people have said the same thing. You know, this is the first time they're missing the World Cup since 1958. A lot of people.
Which is at least 30 years.
Yeah. But again, we're doing Juventus accounting. We have no idea what the numbers are. So a lot of people have never lived a lifetime without seeing Italy in the World Cup, and it is complicated for them and difficult.
Not pissed though.
Now you know what we feel like,
yeah.
Italy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember a time before they qualified. I wasn't a soccer fan, but I remember what the time was like before that, and now we're back.
Okay. Well, you have vivid memories as a 2-year-old. What is it?
Not really. Well, no, 1990. I remember before 1990, don't you?
What? No, they were qualified in 1990. Wasn't it 86?
Yeah, then I don't remember. All right. Well, whatever. It's just us, Italy and U.S.
So because of Italy missing the World Cup and also sort of these big countries, big soccer countries missing the World Cup, they are suggesting some people on the internet, some guy online has suggested.
He also suggested. It.
I don't know if I'm. Don't include me in this.
I suggested it.
You suggested it.
Using our account, so technically we both suggested it.
An NIT version of the World Cup.
I think we need to disrespect it that way. It doesn't. It could be like, first of all, people buy tickets for the Intercontinental Championship, that ICC that happens.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like WWE.
I don't even know what you're
okay, brother. Yeah. Italy versus the United States.
In a cage match, Tyler Adams versus Juanli Luigi Buffon.
Oh, who's gonna? Yeah. It's gonna be a slobber knocker.
Donnarumma from the top turnbuckle.
I'd watch that.
I'm kind of into it already. I don't even like wrestling, but no. What I'm saying is, like, it doesn't have to be like this whole like NIT or the secondary. Like, if people buy tickets for like one of these like preseason tournaments that mean nothing, why wouldn't people buy tickets for this?
No, I don't think fans would have any issue seeing these countries play. I think there's a little bit of a too much pride in for some of the players to want to play in a tournament that's not the World Cup when they were trying to get into the tournament. So I think if I was a player and I missed the World Cup, I'd be like, fuck any other tournament. I'm not playing any other tournament. Like, I'm already depressed that I'm not there, and I'm also playing in a tournament with these other damn losers. Yeah. This consolation cup, you know?
I don't want the ball. You take it. No, you take
it. You win this damn game. Yeah. This don't mean anything.
But so I think it was Taylor Twellman who said, like, you could do it. Think of the teams, right? You have Netherlands, you have Chile, you have China, who didn't make it, by the way. You have Italy. I might have said Italy already. The U.S., right? Chile, Netherlands, U.S., China, Ghana, Cameroon.
Wales.
That 7 right there. I'm sure they could find 3 others and make this 5-5.
Okay.
Groups, top 2, move on, play each other. You get a champion.
A champion of what?
Of what? I don't know. Why don't we do it American style and plastic, call it a bowl?
You get a plastic trophy from Spencer's Gifts. Yeah. I don't know.
A 3D printed soccer ball. Oh, that thing, that stupid thing that kids play with that's like shrinks like this and then you pull it and it opens up. You know what I'm talking about?
Slinky?
No, you mean the ball. The ball you get like at the Liberty Science Center.
Sure. Yeah. Have you ever been to Liberty Science Center?
Yes, I've been a bunch, and I took my nephew. Come on, damn it.
You were just playing with all the toys, and when your nephew was like...
he's like in an airplane.
I want to learn about the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, get out of here, kid. It's a gift shop. You got a credit card? You can't afford nothing in here.
So look, yeah, I mean, personally, I'm not super interested in it, but I would probably watch it.
Of course I would watch it.
Why not? I mean, we have something to talk about.
Do it in the U.S., make it, and Taylor Twellman said make it all the 25 and under. I think that's a great idea. It'll be like a U tournament. I would go.
Okay.
If it's in the U.S. Sure. And if it's not, I would watch. How about this? If it's not in New York, I would watch. I'm not going to drive.
So a couple things. So, I mean, that, who's to say anything like that could ever happen? There would be so much involved for something like that to happen. And also, we're in the middle of possibly, there's going to be a vote for U.S. soccer president. So I think I personally think that even if somebody didn't want to do that, there's not enough time to organize something like that.
There's enough time.
I don't know. That's my opinion. But whatever. We'll see.
What does he know? I mean, where could we find a country that doesn't have major sports playing in the summer and has a ton of stadiums? And an incredible infrastructure and hotel system. If anyone can think of it, please let me know.
I mean, incredible infrastructure? I mean, I don't know.
Well, whatever. It's infrastructure. I mean, look, it's better than Costa Rica would have, right? Is all I'm saying. And by the way, it's not just the U.S. I'm talking about. Argentina could host something like this.
Well, I mean, Argentina's in the World Cup.
Well, and so they could host it. They're not. No one's using their stadiums.
Okay. Yeah.
China has stadiums. You can play it in China.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure.
All of our youth players, pollution sick, but still.
We should also discuss Christian Pulisic, who just put out an article for the Players Tribune
blog post.
Yeah. I mean,
tumblered up.
Sure. There's emojis in it and everything. GIFs. You know, he's very good. He's very like in tune with what the kids want and how the kids absorb news media.
Yeah, so. He didn't type it out. He said it all in 10-second intervals into his phone on Instagram stories.
So, but Christian Pulisic, and this is cool because we don't really get to see too many soccer players write for the Players Tribune. The Players Tribune, I think it was who started by Derek Jeter. It's essentially like
never heard of it until now.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of players. It's like the players' opportunity to write and give their own perspective without a journalist sort of reinterpreting it or whatever. So. Christian Pulisic did write an article and just gave his thoughts about missing out on the World Cup, and it was reading it. First of all, I'm like, well, this little kid looked like he went to school a little bit in Germany or whatever. You know, sometimes you expect
skipping class.
Yeah, you expect some. You know, the star athletes to just like get easy A's, where the teachers were like, well, he's gonna be an American hero. You go right through history in English and just move right along.
What year was the War of the 1812? Was it 1812? Go to the next grade.
This kid, he's a savant.
You know what I mean? He answered every question correctly.
So, but well put, and I really just appreciated his description of when he found out that the U.S. wasn't making the World Cup, and he
did bring you into the moment as a player, which I don't know. I remember my anger and my frustration. It almost became secondary to how this guy felt, because you could see that he was going through a lot during this whole process. And it was tough. It was tough for him. We're not going. We're not making it to the World Cup. Like when he finally heard it, and you could see the photo of him drop down like sort of in a squat and crying. Yeah. You saw where that moment came from. He kind of told you. He talked a lot about how there were players that were better than him that didn't get the same opportunities he did because he had this Croatian passport, so he can go 2 years early.
Yeah, so I mean that's basically the crux of the article, of like him trying to explain what is sort of wrong, or what he thinks, his opinions on
from his perspective, what's happening. Yeah, yeah, like a State of the Union address almost.
Sure,
yeah.
But I like this take because you don't really get to hear this from the players that are this young that are still in that. In that scenario of like they're still developing, you know, and he is 19 years old, so he's not really that far detached from the pivotal moments in his life that he feels changed and that helped his trajectory to get him to be, you know, essentially a star player at Dortmund, where even somebody I think at Bayern was already like that we might be looking at Pulisic in the future. Like, so it is interesting to hear from someone like this.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're talking about him replacing Robin.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, what an honor.
Yeah, sure. That's incredible. I mean, is it that? I mean, they didn't even. It's just another guy who didn't make it to the World Cup. I don't know what's
swapping one guy for another one who didn't make it to the World Cup.
What are you doing? So, but yeah, that the moment that he did mention that, you know, after the whistle blew, asking an assistant, what were the other scores, and just
like afraid to ask the real question.
Yeah,
that was great.
Great, and then his take on like. Being where he is now, and I believe at 13 years old he got a Croatian passport because a grandparent was Croatian.
Her father's Croatian.
And that helped him get into Dortmund. Yeah, that's really the main.
You have to be a Euro to be able to get in. You have to be a member of the Eurozone. So yeah, I mean that it gave him an opportunity to get in. Something that stopped Ben Letterman, who's over at Barcelona's academy, who no one really talks about. I think he might be like 15 at this point, so he might just be on that. He's going to be a part of the next cycle at some point. He's not at the age just yet. I think the three names we hear a lot are Pulisic, Weston McKennie, and Tyler Adams. I don't think we're listening or hearing a lot about Ben Letterman, but clearly there's a lot of these people that sort of have these opportunities to go to Europe. And then he even talked about how it's not necessary to go to Europe, but the most important thing is to be able to sort of find the talent. He said it. He almost like, I think it's in the first or second paragraph where he says it's not a talent issue with the U.S. And we talked about this. We sometimes, because we don't know. I mean, we're not following these kids around. Like, where you go now?
But we are very talented.
Yeah, we're super talented. I mean, he said that talent isn't the issue. He meant specifically about comedic soccer media.
Sure. Yeah, that's what.
Which you're looking at, by the way, or you're listening to.
Which is really the. I'm just surprised Pulisic has a take on this at all.
You know what?
I'm very, very impressed.
And happy he's listening. Thank you, Christian. But he clearly talks about how there's like not enough, that there's just not enough people finding and developing the talent. It's not that there isn't the talent there. That is probably the most important takeaway. I like him. I like the fact that he was able to write at this, you know, sort of from this point of view, but I could care less what you went through that moment. Like when I read it, I was like, oh wow, that's meaningful. But then at the same time, I was like, all right, yeah, you let us all down. You know what I mean? What's more important? It's like,
he scored the only goal in the game.
He scored the only goal.
He specifically.
No, he was a part of the team that let us down.
Okay.
But I think what's important is like, hey, you were a youth player. Who did you know? What did you see? And he was like, oh, there was a ton of talent out there. People just didn't get the same opportunities I did. People didn't get recognized. People are still a part of all these other travel teams and are not getting, you know, a chance to go play against pros. And he said it bothered him when he watches MLS and he doesn't see those guys that he knows are great and a part of the academies getting a chance to play. Yeah. Why aren't they?
Yeah, I mean.
So here it is, Christian Pulisic for USSF president.
just a 20-year-old president.
Why not? First of all, you don't get paid; it's volunteer, and I'm pretty sure he can do it over Skype from Dortmund.
Can't be that tough. Like you said, this take from a person this age that's still going through that development is, I think, is unique and one that we don't really get to hear often. You know, it'd be interesting to hear like what Josh Sargent thinks about sort of where he is in the development process, or like especially as a guy he's going to Werder Bremen, who just signed with them. So
wait until he's 18. He's another one.
Yeah,
he's technically still listed as that whatever St. Louis Gallagher.
Oh, that's
his academy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's still listed as that.
It does raise the question of how do we get the quality of development and, you know, and the quality of the academies to be as equal to Germany or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know.
I've said it like 17 times on this podcast, and I said it once on this episode. They told us all how they did it, and we're just not doing it.
Okay. And the other thing that Pulisic brought up was the idea of the sort of xenophobia there is towards the German players, where that a lot of them get criticized of not being as patriotic.
Not just the German, just the players, the kids that moved to Europe to develop, that they're not as American as the kids who develop here, which is, I got to be honest, I don't think I've ever heard that. It's obviously happening because he's saying it. Yeah, saying, I mean, he's the one hearing it. But I don't think I've ever heard that angle. Maybe the ones who are half German, who are not really American, but are sort of somewhat naturalized and can play here because they had a serviceman father like Jermaine Jones or Danny Williams.
Sort of. They are. They are American.
They're American. No, yeah. What I'm saying is,
but you said sort of American, like kind of like they didn't weasel their way into.
But what I'm saying is they weren't born and raised in America. Or
yes.
I forget. There's a kid who's English at, I believe, Everton. Who has a chance to play for the U.S. I can't remember his name. And he was like, oh, I don't know anything about America, you know? He's like, but I would love to play for them if they want me to.
Sign me up.
Yeah, he's like, sure. He just shows up with a box of Weetabix. He's like, you guys like this, right? Like, he doesn't. He's another one of these people that, like, so the half German players are sort of like that. A lot of them don't know a lot about American culture. You know, Jermaine Jones clearly has a German accent, but I don't hold that against him. If you're American, you can play for the U.S. team and you make us better, show up and do it. You know what I mean? Help us out as much as we can. I've never heard that a kid who goes to Dortmund at 13, all of a sudden, he's not American enough.
As soon as you cross the border, look at this, lock him up. You don't need him in this country.
The lady you work for who goes to India and comes back wearing saris and stuff. You're like, all right, all right, Becky.
I don't know what spiritual awakening you went through.
Yeah. I don't care about the color war you went to, Diwali, none of that. Just sit down and answer the phones, Becky.
I think it is just in general, my takeaway from it, I was just like, I'm just glad someone is speaking openly about this stuff. And he made it very clear, like, he's trying to focus on missing on the World Cup, but really thinking about the next World Cup. And look, hopefully today we see some positive light towards, just like, oh, okay, now get excited about, you know, the possibility of the next four years of our U.S. team being up to par with some of the other countries and obviously making it to the World Cup again. So
hopefully.
So we should, a couple other things in Major League Soccer.
MLS does not sleep. They may not be having games. The news cycle continues.
Keeps going. The Rookie of the Year was announced.
Yeah.
Big surprise here.
Some guy we've never met before.
Some guy who's, just not supportive of us at all.
Eats too much pizza.
I think he's tried to, get in the way of our success.
He sabotaged us many a time.
But Julian Gressel.
Congratulations,
Julian. Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, come on, huh?
I mean, it wasn't even close with the votes. I think he got almost 50% of the vote or something like that. And then it was split amongst the rest.
It wasn't necessarily unanimous, but it was overwhelming that he was winning. I don't know. I think.
Why wasn't it unanimous? Who are the voters who voted for these?
Haters, dude. It's a bunch of pizza guys going, I'm not sure.
With Julian, he didn't win the pizza vote.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else really could have competed. I don't know that anyone had sort of the effect and, the immediate positive sort of, again, effect for their team, like Julian Gressel, you know? I know there was a small amount of talk about Jonathan Lewis possibly overshadowing him because of, like, the really great play he had in those two games, but that did not continue. He did not continue to get the opportunities. And you gotta train your way into the matches, and he didn't do that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else was super impressed. I mean, the ones that I think were closest was Abu Dhanladi.
Abu Dhanladi had a great season.
Nick Lima, I think for San Jose
started out really strong.
Yeah, but when you look at the rest of these players, and then you look at Julian Gressel, who made the starting lineup of a team coached by Tata Martino, it's like just almost that in itself is like, he probably deserves it. If he's good enough in his first professional year to, and for, a storied, experienced coach To be like,
took Argentina to the World Cup final, and this guy's good enough for him.
So that's a good sign. So
it's
yeah,
good enough for us.
Yeah, we're excited. Obviously, Julian has been on the show. He was on our live show in Atlanta, and we couldn't be happier for him. Well deserved. Obviously, when we went to go see Atlanta United play against the Philadelphia Union at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, he scored a goal for us.
Yes, he did, and we both threw our underwear at him. We're big fans.
Sure, we were immediately thrown out of Mercedes-Benz Stadium, yeah. But hey, you know, it was worth it.
His face was fumigated.
But no, with Matt Golden underwear, so it smelled great.
Yeah. Can't tell I wore it for 3 days straight.
So yeah, very exciting for him. Another piece of news, Brad Friedel announced as the coach for
New England Revolution.
Yeah. We've a team that was...
Now, no real, you know, top flight senior team management experience, head coaching experience. I listened to the interview he did on Extra Time Radio, which, by the way, congratulations to Andrew Wiebe for having his baby, huh?
Yeah, look at that.
Come on, huh?
A new rookie in the
Cameron
in
Russell Wiebe. So I think I put in the article that it sounds like a great law firm. I hope he doesn't get upset. sorry, buddy. But I listened to the interview he did, and he was talking about how him and his crew and his staff that he already has, like, what, how do you have a staff? You just got hired. You just run around with a goalkeeping coach, you know?
He knows a couple guys. I'm just calling a couple. I just texted a few guys.
That is the one thing I took from it. So he brought up, you know, if you're better than the player he has now, he's going to look at you. He's going to look at you specifically.
Okay.
So get ready, buddy. This is going to be exciting. Cooligans FC games just took a bit more importance.
Oh, boy. Should I get new clothes?
No, buddy. Okay? He's already watching you as we speak. He's behind the live wall. But Brad Friedel talks about how, you know, he's going to look at every position. He's going to look at new players for every position. No one has the opportunity to be baked in. So, you know, good luck to a fan of the show and friend of the show, Juan Agudelo. I don't know if he's listening out there in Poland. Hope you are.
Poland?
Sorry, Portugal.
Portugal.
Very close. They're right next to each other, right, guys?
Poland can host this tournament in this NIT.
Buddy, let Poland host it.
Poland's not doing anything.
Come on, you got nothing, right? So he was talking about he's looking at youth players. He talked a lot about how he likes what Tata Martino did in Atlanta. He likes that fast. He likes action. He does want their players to be responsible defensively. So people were a little worried when he said that maybe that this is going to be a much more of like sort of an old school team. He talked about how as far as signing DPs, if you're a fan of New England Revolution, this is going to be exciting. If you're a fan of MLS, this is exciting to have another team. He said he looks towards what Atlanta did as the blueprint. So it looks like, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it in the first season, but it looks like Brad Friedel is the type of guy who wants to go out and get some of these players that can, you know, that are being looked at by some of the bigger clubs in the world that maybe can be flipped after their first season for a lot bigger profit, especially if what is supposed to happen true, that you get to keep 100% of the revenue that you make for homegrown players. Maybe there's this sort of opportunity to just compound how much money you're making as a club. And he said he would not have gone there if there wasn't ambition, and they're extremely ambitious, which is hard for me to believe, because one thing that we've made fun of New England Revolution for is having Robert Kraft as their owner, who could give two fucks about the soccer team.
Sure. I mean,
maybe that's changing. Maybe all of this is changing.
Can Brad Friedel change can he change Robert Kraft? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, maybe. He's tall enough. He could scare him.
I mean, I don't know if Robert Kraft is really the problem. I mean, when it comes to the lineup for New England, we talked...
Rel Truther right now is just mad at you because he seems to be the problem for a lot of stuff.
No, I mean, I'm saying Robert Kraft is not directly responsible for how bad the Revolution are. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that was Jay Heaps, and he's gone.
So, yeah, we know who's accountable, right? Yeah. So the... Again, we talked about this before. When you look at the on paper a lineup of the Kai Kamara, Juan Agudelo, Fagundes, Lee Wynn,
Kellen Rowe,
you see a couple of those guys, you're like, all right, they're fine. I mean, they're not gonna be the
20th like one of the better teams.
Worst team in the damn league.
Yeah, that team is not only making the playoffs but should go far in it.
So and there is a hopefully Brad Friedel can change. I mean, I think he's gonna have to just change the lineup a lot because it looks like the foundation of the club and the chemistry amongst its players is really what the the fundamental issue is. Yeah. So
the one thing that I think scared me in that interview is he said, like, people were upset that, like, some players were playing out of position. Juan Agudelo is much more of a center forward. You know, here's where Lee Wynn likes to play. Here's where Fagundes likes to play. And they're kind of hard pieces to fit all together. You know, Teal Bunbury and Kai Kamara and everyone. It's kind of hard to put them all together. And he was like, it doesn't matter where you want to play. It's like, where can you help the team? So, you know, that might be a little bit of what's already been happening there. You know, that might be, you know, some old hat for some of these fans.
Okay. Maybe Brad, maybe Bradford will be like, you know, a tougher guy, tougher coach.
I got to be honest, though, from the interview, again, not a New England Revolution fan, but if I was, I'd be kind of inspired. I don't know if I bought the BS, you know what I mean? Maybe I did. Maybe I just bought the BS. Like, he didn't really say specifically, here's what we're going to do, and here's the formation, and here's what we're going to do. I think I just kind of, like, got caught up a little bit in what he was saying. I'm like, oh, this all sounds great.
Yeah, I think in the era of like, this MLS 2.0 and all the sexiness of
me?
Of you, yeah, mm-hmm. People, it's just...
it's really disrupting soccer.
I'm perspiring quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. Links effects.
But seeing, like, the hirings of, like, Patrick Vieira, Tata Martino, and just seeing the really going out of their way to bring in international and foreign managers to get a new sort of look at these, especially New England Revolution, a club that's been around for a long time, the... Brad Friedel is just like, well, it's not really
sexy as hire.
Get me going, guys. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say.
Sorry, you're going to give me a little bit more time.
I'm drying up down there. I don't know what to say.
Blood's rushing back to my hands. Nothing's happening. But speaking of Rémi Gardin, maybe?
Oh, that's right.
Or Montreal.
Montreal Impact.
Yeah.
An Arsenal boy.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, but he was also like Aston Villa manager and a manager of another team.
Sure, but he won with...
He did. He came in the same season as Patrick Vieira over at Arsenal. I mean, I remember him very fondly. I don't think of him as the greatest player that was ever on Arsenal or anything, but I remember him very fondly, and I'm happy to have another one of the, Arsenal boys here in MLS. It's kind of dope.
A French guy, so he's going to be...
Speaks French.
Works well in Montreal, so
yeah.
He's going to fit in nicely.
And he talked about, you know, I was listening to, I forgot who said it. Somebody said something like, you know, Montreal is a small market, but it's actually 3.5 million people, which, you know, I mean, New York City, you know, dwarfed by New York City. Yeah. But as far as markets are concerned, that's not a small one. You know, that's a big one. Obviously, weather plays a big role into how much they can develop. But they got the Balu Tabla. They've got who's the other guy they developed? They got a lot of young talent. There's another guy. I can't remember his name now.
I don't know, Jackson Hamel?
Yeah.
Okay.
So there you go. Although he's a little older. I think he's like...
I don't know how old he is. I don't know. I know very little about the youth players in Montreal.
Oh, you
Forgive
need to
me.
Get your Ray Moore on and start figuring this out. But there's obviously a lot of opportunity there. I don't know that, you know, I think the most exciting they've been was when they had Piatti and Drogba. You're clearly not going to bring Drogba in. He's now playing for the team he owns in the third division or the second division. I don't know what Montreal is going to be able to do, but I am excited to see what formations he's going to put in and what he can change.
Sure. I mean, they went from making it, to the Eastern Conference final to missing out in the playoffs. So something happened. Something went awry. But Montreal...
Still one of the most fun playoff games I've ever been to.
Very much, yeah. Oh. But Montreal doesn't seem like a team that needs... too much fixing or whatever, but I remember we spoke to Sofiane Benzaza from Cannes Football Club, and he did mention like that one of the things he would hope for is like a strong defensive mid, and that's really what they just need to stop letting in so many damn goals.
Having a World Cup center back isn't good enough for you guys.
It's so weird, like Laurent Simon, to me, I don't know, you see him on Belgium and he's just like, he doesn't seem like that big a deal. I don't know. Like, is he a DP? I don't even know if he's a DP for.
I don't think he is a DP.
Montreal. Is there even a center back that's a DP? I don't even think there is.
Easler.
Okay, so maybe is he a center back?
Yella Van Dam was.
Yeah. So there's not many, but he's like one guy. Even when you see him at Belgium, I'm like, he's not
in the MLS. You're like, he's not the best player.
He's not the best. I mean, he's like, maybe he's like just tactically like smart, but I guess from a defender, you sort of expect to see like a big, bulking, like John Brooks kind of just big dude. And he's not that. So it's like, but he manages to like be like in the correct spot to stop. Yeah. So he knows what he's doing.
He reminds me a lot of Koscielny. Koscielny isn't the type of guy that looks like, you know, he can overpower anybody, but he's just always there and he's doing a great job.
Yeah.
So Simon going to the World Cup. John Brooks not going.
So also
Chiellini not going.
Oh yeah,
sorry, Italia.
Well, there's an age limit, so you can't send Chiellini. We gotta worry about his safety.
But in Italy, the age limit apparently is 39 years old.
One other thing that we can get to, we can talk a little bit about, was Paul Tenorio. He had, and this is relevant to the New England Revolution and players like Kai Kamara, where there's apparently some like a weird rule when it
added this to the CBA. I don't completely understand it.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, we tried to get him to call in, but he's very busy with I guess his job.
But basically, just to sum it up, it's about free agency, right? So free agency was instituted three years ago now
because it was NYCFC and Orlando City's first season.
Yeah.
So, but here, the CBA states that a player may be compensated at an amount equal to or less than his declined option price, provided that such compensation is less than the maximum salary budget charge, which is currently $504,375, that's what it will be in 2018. So anything over that counts as a DP player. Right.
Yeah. So this will involve players who
or
are not,
TAM. You have to buy that down.
Yeah. So who
or GAM.
Who are not? These are not designated players, but these are like MLS veterans that will earn more money than just players, obviously that have just been in the league just a couple years.
So this is free agency and trades, and maybe making an offer for free agency. And the league is so anti-free agency that they added this cap, so that teams couldn't work around it, I guess.
Yeah, it's strange. The main thing that this would affect is that players that have been in the league a long time, like and the examples that he uses are Kai Kamara and Sasha Kljestan, players like that, that can definitely earn more money. That it might not be beneficial essentially for the teams to keep their players, because they might be either essentially too expensive and they may not be able to buy down their contract.
But it's not just that. Like, if a team makes an offer to that player, they have to negotiate a new contract.
Okay.
It's very, so like now all of a sudden you have a new contract. So like it says that the player may be compensated in an amount less than his declined option price, but greater than the maximum salary budget charge, which is 508, right? Or 504. So let's just say 500,000, right? So the player may be compensated in an amount less than his declined option price. So the option may be worth more, but they declined it. So he can be compensated less than that and greater than the maximum salary budget charge, provided that such an amount be all negotiated between the league and the player. So for clarity, if a team indicates that it would accept the players at a higher compensation, the negotiation between the league and the player is determinative of the player's compensation. So they have to go back so a team can agree to it. So New England Revolution's coming to buy you, right, Christian? Yeah. Right? So
Brad's here. Yeah. He saw me. He was very impressed with my
clearly
my talent.
You're going to be paid way more than $504,375. And again, I get 10% of that, which is all I need to survive. My wife's not happy about that. But so you're going to get more than that, right? So because you got an offer for more than that, that you now have to renegotiate your contract with the league, and the league can essentially bring you down.
Okay.
So the club offers you more, but you still have to go to Don Garber's office and negotiate.
which I'm sure will be a fun experience.
Not a problem. Yeah.
Donnie, please.
It's not Louis C.K. It's Don Garber.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we can get out of the room whenever we want. Yeah. That's the main thing.
So this is important for guys like Kai Kamara and, you know, Michael Bradley and all these players that are in that cusp where they can start to negotiate their own offers, but they're going to have to do so once they approve an offer. They accept an offer with the team, they've got to turn around and negotiate with the entire league.
But essentially what this does is hinder the possibility of players going wherever they want to go.
As much money as they want.
Yeah, it's just another thing, another hurdle for players to go where they want to go or to earn as much as they think they can earn or whatever. Yeah. And it just sounds like a wrinkle in like this free agency, but like not like you can't just do whatever you want. Yeah. So it is another thing of like not allowing super clubs, I guess, to some extent. Not allowing.
It's also not true, because the other bit of news that has come out is that the amount of TAM is going to increase.
Sure.
To $2 million.
Reportedly. We don't, I guess, it's nothing certain.
Yeah, but I mean, this is apparently what is going to happen. So actually, it also will raise the cap of a TAM player to 1.5. So, okay, we were talking about TAM. You can buy down players with TAM, right?
Yeah.
So.
Sorry, anyone listening, I'm sorry, this is the worst.
Yeah. Although we're really trying.
We're trying to explain
so
it.
Hard. So if Christian is going to make more than $500,000, that's not DP level. Sorry, buddy, you're not DP level, but he's worth more than the cap.
You're going to say that right to my face?
Right to your face. So what if, let's say, Brad Friedel offers you $700,000.
Well, why do I have to do this? $700,000.
Lock the door.
I'm getting wildly uncomfortable right now.
So
he just got hired.
I mean, come on. Delete the tweets. So he's offering you $700,000.
Yeah.
That means they'd have to buy down $200,000 of your contract, because it's over the $500,000, with TAM. There used to be a cap. You were not allowed to make more than $1.5 million. Oh, no, $1 million. Now that's going to increase to $1.5 million. So they're going to get $2 million of discretionary TAM.
Mm-hmm.
So they can buy down contracts. God damn it. Which now allow a player to make $1.5 million. So you can essentially buy. This pretty much looks like it's an offer for you to go out and find Almirón's. Go out and find an Almirón, someone who is willing to make $1.5 million of money they're guaranteed to get, unlike people who play for Tijuana who have not been paid for 2 months, right? You're going to get direct deposit. It's good. It clears. It's American money. You straight, right? You're going to make $1.5 million, up to $1.5 million. You good now, and they can use $1 million of their money to buy that down, and they still have another $1 million. That they can buy down another player. So you can get yourself two. So what does that sound like? Sounds a lot like they want every team to go out and find a Joseph Martinez and a Miguel Almirón. Because these teams are getting offered $30 million for these players. So the league is like, son, we making guap. Let's go buy more socks and sell them on the side of the road. This is exactly all that is. Now, it's really difficult to understand all these stupid rules. Here's my thing. If the cap is like $1.8 million, but with all these stupid things you've added to it, allows you to spend like $30 million, let's just make that the cap, guys, and just say that like two of three or four of your players on the squad have to be from the youth academy or have to be homegrown, and four or five have to be American, and just go and let these teams spend what they want to spend.
It really feels like the MLS doesn't want to just let go of that grip of you know, oversight and control. I don't know what the fear is exactly, but it looks like all this stuff seems very, very confusing and weird, but it just feels like a business that is like, no, wait, what are you doing? No, we're going to do it like this because I don't know what you're doing. I mean, it sounds like a good idea, but no, I don't.
This is all too much.
This is all too much. Yeah. You know what? Let's all just grab it because I'm just getting uncomfortable right now.
But it seems like whatever a team tries to do something that's like revolutionary, they're like, but what about this rule? You know, it's like,
Yeah, so it's just another, big sort of mess. It looks like it's probably like just some giant legal document that we'll never understand.
Right.
But that's just sort of what's happening in the league right now. So we try to keep you
abreast of what's happening. But this is really, really difficult to understand. And I think it's on purpose. And here's my other point. I hate to harp on this, but, you know, if the biggest issue with all these rules is to stop not just a super team, but to make sure that teams don't feel as though they have to overspend and ruin the league, we've reached a point where teams can spend more now. So just let them go spend it. You're giving them $2 million is going to assure that a team can go out and essentially be somewhat of a super club within MLS, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the point of the cap, is to stop that. You're giving them tools to do that. It doesn't make any sense. It's like saying, go build a house, but you can only use these hammers and nails as opposed to the hammers and nails you want to use. You're already giving them hammers and nails. Let them just use the ones they want to use. Let these teams go and spend. You know, the teams that don't want to spend, you know, Revolution would have been the one that I would have said now, but I guess that's not the one anymore. Maybe Columbus Crew. The teams that don't have the guap to go out and buy the players they want, they're still going to be hamstrung and not buy those players. So they're with this new TAM. So just get rid of the cap. Or just make it just a one overall. Look, your cap is $12 million. Your cap is $15 million. Your cap is $20 million. Just go out and spend on whoever you want.
We need a flat tax. We need a flat tax.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, guys?
Because clearly this trickle-down TAM is not working.
The TAM code is too complicated. Yeah. Vote for us and we'll change it all.
Too many loopholes. Vote for us.
We need a lockbox. Anyway.
Better pizza. Better TAM.
All right, so that'll be the end of this first segment. And next segment, we'll talk about U.S. Portugal and what we think about that. And we'll talk a little bit about the matches coming up in the MLS playoffs. So.
So you'll hear our reaction to that USA game you saw yesterday right after this.
Exactly.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to The Cooligans. Just want to break in with our sponsor.
Oh, yeah, we know you love our sponsors, everybody. Yeah. And today's episode is sponsored by SeatGeek, and we're always grateful of SeatGeek. They are the official ticketing partner of MLS.
That's right. So I was just looking. In fact, the Houston Dynamo have sold out their first leg, but if you go on SeatGeek, you can still find a couple of tickets. They're a little expensive, but SeatGeek is going to be the one that shows you all the tickets available and which one are the cheapest options across all of the different ticket exchanges, which is really cool. I mean, I can see them all those options right here.
So it's clearly a hot ticket, but if you are a first-time user of SeatGeek, use the promo code COOLIGANS and you will get $20 off.
Little scratch.
Save some money. Especially
because of us.
On that hot ticket, Houston against Seattle.
So you know what you do? You could find one of the cheaper seats, right? Or you're taking a lady or something, or you're taking your friend, or you're taking a fellow with you. Here's what you do. You go to the one that's a little bit $20 more expensive. They have no idea.
They won't even know.
And you just got that money back, baby. Because why? Because you know the Cooligans. They say, yo, how'd you get this ticket for so cheap? You know what you say? You say, I know a guy. And what's that guy? That's the SeatGeek app. That's either on your phone or SeatGeek.com. And all you have to do, put in code Cooligans, COOLIGANS. You can go get that $20 in your pocket, baby.
Do it.
Yeah, we're back, baby.
We're back. And all we have to say is, Horvath!
Come on, Horvath.
Horvath!
What are you doing?
Horvath.
It wasn't even shot at you.
What? I mean, no, it's an easy one, Horvath.
It's the easiest one you had all half.
Oh, my goodness, Horvath.
Okay, forget that happened. This is a good game.
That was an impressive performance, I think.
This is what we wanted. We've been begging for this.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, we were. I don't know why were we begging for.
You wake up Christian at 2 a.m. and say, "What do you want?" He says, "I want the boys to play. I want to see nothing but boys." We said we wanted to see the youth movement. What did we see?
We saw Dom Dwyer, Kellen Acosta. We saw Alaba Bedoya.
But after all those guys, we saw the youth movement.
Yeah, we still didn't.
Also, I mean, who was the star of this show? This was the Weston McKinney show.
This was a little CJ Sapong.
And CJ Sapong looked great, yeah. By the way. And so did Tyler Adams.
Tyler Adams did play well. So look, we can't be furious. I think if Horvath doesn't do what he does,
absolutely.
You know, we win this game, and we a little bit more optimistic than we did in the past.
I think we should stay optimistic, right? Because here's the thing: we said that it wouldn't matter, that the score would not matter. And what did I promise you guys? I said if we draw or win, I will tell you that we won. But again, the score did not matter. That is the absolute truth. At the end of the day, it's how did we look? A couple of things that I liked, and again, this was a very young team, but I do love the way Miazga played. I absolutely love the way Weston McKinney played. I absolutely love the way Tyler Adams played. Why was Juan Agudelo on the wing? That made no sense to me.
Yeah, he didn't look super comfortable. He's not. He doesn't seem like a hold-up guy. He was trying, or maybe, you know, maybe...
No, I think he wants to be more of a hold-up guy, but CJ Sapong was a little better at that.
I don't know. Yeah, it seemed like in that role, especially before, in the second half, before he was subbed off, he just... Maybe it was the defender that was on him. He just looked a little out-muscled a couple times. So.
I could see that. I could see where you would come up with that. I think Juan Agudelo also seemed a bit unsure as to what exactly he should be doing over there.
Horvath!
I'm Horvath was the problem, though.
I'm still, hold on. I just had to get that one out of my system. It was very
I wonder if you could blame anybody. Who would you blame?
Horvath!
There it is. All right. You were wondering, we answered the question.
Before we continue, let's this particular segment, we're actually recording. We did mention we have so many resources. We're currently in
we got nothing but resources, baby.
Resources. Quality? No. Resources.
Dude, we go to the bodega. We're like, yo, let me get this sandwich. They'll be like, yo, $6. I'm like, can I pay you with resources? Because we've got a lot of them.
We are in the studios for WABC. We're actually in.
Yeah.
We're again overlooking.
We're literally going to just start going into random rooms and start recording. Like, I think behind me, you could see a guy. Like, if you're watching the video,
there's just
this
there's just
a person working. We don't know who he is. You know when you watch the news and there's people behind them, like at cubicles and stuff? Oh, I always thought they knew who they were. Turns out you don't know who they are. That's at least my experience.
So that might be why we sound maybe slightly different.
Yeah, or we should give them the morning radio. There's a traffic on the LIE coming into New York. Please turn around and go back to Long Island. Nobody wants you here.
So this game does end 1-1.
First reaction. What is your first reaction? Forget the score. Forget Horvath. As hard as that is. Horvath! Forget all that. What is your immediate reaction after having watched that? And I would probably say probably the first half, because the second half didn't look as good, but...
I would say I was very impressed with Weston McKennie and his confidence playing against. It wasn't necessarily Portugal's A team, but it was a lot of.
I mean, in the past, we've not been able to sit here and go, "Well, I mean, it wasn't Portugal's A team. We would have lost the crew that lost that Trinidad and Tobago would have clearly lost the Trinidad outside, to Portugal's C team."
This game, it should have been 1-0. That's all, but
I mean, just the way they played, but those, forget the score.
But McKennie looked great. And more importantly, I was impressed with how comfortable the younger players looked, right? They didn't see, outside of Horvath, nobody looked uncomfortable playing soccer against Portugal. Do you know what I mean? He was the only one that seemed a little like out of place. But Tyler Adams looked great. Weston McKennie looked great. And defensively, you have to be excited about what that team looks like from a defensive perspective.
Yo, Miazga put on weight, dog.
Miazga looked away. So did Lyndon Gooch, all right?
Lyndon Gooch is nothing but weight.
He put all the weight in his traps, exclusively. Oh,
by the way, the amount of resources we have, he has an upper body strength. That dude is built. And by the way, the amount of pace that man has is shocking.
So they look, we don't get to see a lot of these players often, outside of, when they were playing in the U-20s and U-17 tournaments and all that stuff. But they looked comfortable. They looked confident. Cameron Carter-Vickers looking great.
Yeah, no, he came in the second half, which wasn't our best half, but it was all defending, and he looked good. Villafania, putting it all on the line every time he's out there.
Yeah, I'm
fun to watch.
I'm excited for a future of a center back pairing of Matt Miazga and Cameron Carter-Vickers. You have the strength and height of Miazga. You have just the shoulders of Cameron Carter-Vickers. I'm very excited about those shoulders.
Yeah, there's a lot of shoulders on this team. You know, a lot of bench pressing going on.
So we got a lot of upper body strength to look forward to.
I thought CJ Sapong looked great for someone who we've seen play a lot in MLS and has moments where they look good, have moments where they sort of disappear in a game. It clearly shows that if you surround him with fast, players that are going to pass the ball, that he will make himself available. He will sort of help the attack. He will put himself in positions where he can assist what's happening. And that was extremely fun to watch, CJ Sapong in those situations. Kellen Acosta looked good. Took a knock with Danny Williams.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Got up and was like, nah, son, we good. I mean, they both laid there for a minute. But the funny thing was, you looked at me and you're like, oh, man, I think they have concussions. And the next scene is them just preparing to defend. And I'm like, oh, boy.
Oh, no, walk it off. I'm fine.
Yeah, I guess we good. I guess we do whatever we want.
They didn't like necessarily clash heads as much as like Williams.
They collided.
Well, I think Williams hit Colin Costa's like face or chin or whatever. Yeah. So it wasn't just like temple to temple or whatever.
Yeah, it certainly didn't feel good.
But yeah, CJ Pong did look good. I think I was just looking at his age. He's 28 years old. I'm like, oh, well, how much is he at a place where he could unseat a forward?
Nah.
You know, he might get a couple World Cup qualifier call ups, you know, maybe in the next 2 years, but.
No, he's not getting.
You don't think he's that. You don't think you're gonna see him again.
No, homie's done. Start working on the podcast, CJ. 28 years old.
Who knows? Who knows? But yeah, that's yeah.
I'll tell you who knows me. It's not happening.
My initial takeaway is you leave optimistic. I think getting to see some of those guys play in that atmosphere. They look pretty comfortable, and obviously the younger players like McKenny and Adams. I'm like, all right, these are the especially seeing you see how fiery Tyler Adams is, and he was just as he's just as fiery playing against Toronto as he is.
Oh, he's a beast
against Portugal. So
I honestly think
he almost had a goal.
Yeah, this first half I think is enough to get him a shot with the European team. And I know, you know, the Rebel fans will be mad at me for saying that. If any of them still listen to the podcast, please do.
Why wouldn't they listen?
Because we love all teams. but I think, I think this is I think he's going to get an opportunity because he looked that good in the first half. There was a few mistakes like everything else, but the guy's young. He's super young, and he's just getting into positions. And let me tell you something. The idea of him and Weston McKennie together and that Gonzalez kid that plays for Monterrey that they didn't let go for this game, who's another pit bull. The three of them, I mean, look, I don't know who's passing the ball, although McKennie's pretty good at passing. I don't know who's passing the ball, but I know what's not happening is the other team is not even going to touch our back line. Those three are all pit bulls, and McKennie, my God, it looked like someone told him, hey, you know Portugal? If they score, your family's locked up in a basement. You'll never see them again.
You don't even want to know what Portugal said about your mother.
Yo, your mother?
What did they say? Look, I can't even say.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't want to. Look, I'm just
don't saying. Don't even rebuttal. Just go out there and do something about it.
Look, you know? I'm just saying they're talking about you.
Yo, streets is talking. All about your mother, though. It's not what you want.
I think a lot of things to look forward to. And I don't know how much we need to get into, the Ethan. Is it Ethan? It's Ethan Horvath,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Or it might be Evan.
Oh, you know what? He doesn't even deserve us knowing his name.
It is Ethan. Error.
Error. He put up a big old E, right? Okay. In the score sheet.
He looked okay after that, too. That could shake even the most seasoned goalkeeper.
Horvath, where did he play? Didn't he play in MLS ever?
No, I think he was in Mexico for a while, and now he was in Belgium. I think he's technically owned by a Holland team, by a team from Holland, but I think he plays for Belgium.
He plays in Club Brugge. I don't know where else he played.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, again, this is just us now sitting here Googling something, but I'm pretty sure he played. No, he played for Mold.
He played. Wow.
Mold.
What a historic French.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. The
very dangerous.
The things you find in people's backyards.
Also, what creates fermentation. So let's not act like it's such a bad thing.
Sure.
Mold.
Yeah. For whatever, I thought he played in MLS, but, you know, he hasn't. I prefer an MLS keeper over that. I'll tell you that much.
Well, Hamid looked pretty good.
Hamid looked fine.
Looked pretty good. He took control of that position. You know what he didn't look like? He didn't look like Horvath.
Horvath! How dare you?
Well, apparently he's not starting in Europe right now because he's been very error prone this season.
Oh,
so
you think?
The trend continues.
I mean, you feel bad for him, but there were so many moments throughout that first half. I don't know. You feel the. It looked like he was feeling the pressure of like not embarrassing the United States anymore than they've already been.
This has to stop now.
Somebody has to be like, all right, guys, chill. We already lost.
Yeah,
that's it. We can't lose any worse.
The reason this means nothing to us is because we have nothing happening for the next 4 years. So everyone, just take it down a notch.
So nobody got to worry about letting goals in. Just if they go in, they go in.
They go in.
I would have felt just a little bit better if it was like, let Portugal earn it.
I mean, look, the way we look at it is Portugal didn't score. We have to look at it that way. Horvath lost the ball.
Horvath.
So as far as I'm concerned, that was a good game. What I don't like is how the second half became extremely defensive. It's like, let these kids run, man. And also, Dom Dwyer, what are we doing?
We know
who he is. No, I love the guy. I love Dom Dwyer, but we know who he is. Let the kids play. Why didn't Sargent come in? Give him a minute or two.
Okay, it's a fair question. I am the most surprised that Josh Sargent didn't get a chance to play. But I mean,
did you just make him Dominican?
Josh?
I think you said Josh Sargent.
I didn't say Josh.
I'm pretty sure you said Josh.
I said Josh. It's just that Josh.
I am a Josh. Josh.
Josh Sargent. It's a tough name to say quickly.
Josh Sargent.
Josh.
Josh. This is what you people listen to. I want you to know that. This is what you spent the last hour listening to.
Young Josh. Young Josh. Meet me in the crowd. It's going down. Anyway. Well,
meet me at the bench. I'm not going in.
So, while we were watching that game,
Ireland and Denmark,
which were
Denmark decided to go.
They got shooters out in Denmark.
Oh man,
who said they don't allow weapons out in Denmark? In the European
Denmark,
Union.
We don't need guns, baby. We got our own shooters.
We got Christian Eriksen.
Christian Eriksen,
another Christian, dominating Europe,
dominating the game, and you're going to get bought by New England Revolution. So, I mean, the trend continues.
Look, on all continents.
Let's Christian. Go Antarctica. There's a Christian out there right now just banging in goals. No one's watching.
So, Ireland lost 5-1. Crazy. In Ireland.
I mean, you can't count the last, like, four goals, though, because they were playing so offensive to try to catch up. I felt terrible. But that fact that happened lets me believe that the idea to have a Losers World Cup, World Cup NIT, if you will.
Yes.
It's probably a good idea because the Irish fans are great. They would come out. They travel.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they stumble.
Here's some benefits.
But they get there.
They stumble. Look, they're going to get there when they get there, okay? If there's a bar on the way, they'll eventually get there. If there's a Victoria's Secret, they'll eventually get there. If you didn't see the video, they were just cheering when women walked out of hundreds of guys waiting outside of a Victoria's Secret.
What was it that happened again?
A bunch of women were walking out of the Victoria's Secret, and all the Irish fans were cheering. They were all wearing their, and then
were like in lingerie or something.
No. They were just standing outside.
Okay.
Then as the women would walk out after having purchased something, they'd walk out with the pink bag.
Got it.
And they'd all cheer and root for them. And then one lady opened up the bag and she took out her underwear, and the crowd went nuts. It was like whatever. What a fun group of people. They might come out.
Yeah, I mean,
here's another benefit. It's not in Russia, huh?
yeah, that's really the biggest knock on the World
Cup. Have you seen it?
That's why we don't even want to go. It's like, oh, it's in Russia.
That's
like,
why we didn't qualify.
No, it's just like I don't want to really be there next summer. It's like, I'm just Russia and I are not really like in like talking terms right now.
Ever since they messed with the election, like I got to be honest,
I'm kind of glad we're not there.
Yeah, I kind of don't want to be around them anymore because I feel like they're listening to all my phone calls.
Russia's listening to this podcast right now. Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So they have a Christian Polanco P tape.
Sure.
The dossier on Christian Polanco. This motherfucker pees powder.
Okay, well that's just gross.
Well, it's all the Soylent.
Okay, sure. Well, I mean, it's a drink. It's not powder. I think if you could, it's powder. If you peed powder, I mean,
you've got a problem.
That's like a very, very serious issue.
You're 107 years old.
You should probably address. All right. So the next
World Cup qualifiers. I think that's it. No, Honduras. By the time you listen to us back, Honduras to Australia, second leg will happen. There's a couple other ones.
Peru and
I thought Peru is out.
Is that over?
I'm not sure. We should know this stuff before we record.
I think those are the final two. Peru, New Zealand, yeah. And Honduras, Australia, right?
Okay.
Okay. So
I'll take a word for it.
Yeah. So
I'm also hearing that Australia might be getting into some pro rel soon. Their A-League.
Okay.
Okay. Things are happening out there in Australia. Some of the truthers on the internet are moving to Australia. What else? Oh, these, come on now, the next round of the playoffs. These are the quarterfinals, if I'm not mistaken, right?
These are the semifinals.
These are the semifinals. No, the semifinals happened already. The quarterfinals are about to happen.
Well, these are the quarters. Quarterfinals. These are the Eastern Conference finals. This is not quarter.
Eastern Conference finals, which is a quarterfinal. I just don't want to be wrong.
This is called the semifinal, quarter and then semis.
No, semis already happened. Click on it. You'll see it.
All right. I think you're wrong, but...
I mean, I'm clearly right.
The Eastern Conference final, obviously, it's Tuesday, November 21st.
First match is in Columbus versus Toronto FC.
There's rumors that Josie is very confident that... not very confident, but he thinks that the MLS Disciplinary Committee will rescind the red card that he was issued for fighting during tunnel fight.
Well, here's my problem with this is that they haven't been told yet. So they don't know. It's not been cleared. It's not been confirmed. So how are either team supposed to prepare?
Yeah. And also, how long is it supposed to take to make a decision on this? It's already, you have the international break. You already have more than enough time. What's the issue? The game is 7 days away from when we're recording, 6 days away from when you're listening to this.
Yeah, so what the hell?
So get it going.
Come on, Horvath.
Horvath is involved somehow.
He's somehow. I know the ball's being dropped, so clearly he's involved.
All right, so did somebody check Horvath's five hole? Because there's something going on.
Oh, man. I know that's between the legs, but it doesn't sound... That also doesn't sound good.
I feel like all the answers are in Horvath's five hole. We just have to...
We've got
to
go in that five hole.
We have to look. It is pretty frustrating, but there should be... what Josie's saying is that there's this video evidence... And he's like, the video will exonerate me, and I will not be held accountable for any of this because I'm telling the truth. He is, I mean, obviously, he's the only one left between Sasha Kljestan and, from Tunnel Fight that got punished. So obviously, he's going to be like, I didn't do anything. But he seems.
And if I were Sasha, I would also be like, yeah, no, I hit him first.
Yeah, let it go. It's
what
over.
You can do not let me play in the MLS Cup final, you know?
You know, I didn't even want to go to the MLS Cup.
I mean, you know what? This time I'm not going.
I feel like it's going to be in Toronto. I'm like, just
I hope I see him in Toronto again.
Imagine 2 years in a row.
Be like, hey.
awkward conversations.
Rough time last year. Oh, we meet again. Just remember, he was a dick to us last year, okay?
I mean, I don't know. You keep saying he was a dick, but he was...
What do you mean you don't know?
He was uninterested in talking to us. There's a difference.
That's being a dick.
I mean, I felt that. So who can blame the guy?
And then he was like, hey, guys, my friend's here. And the guy's like, "Who? What's your name?" He's a waiter. He's like, yeah, I'm going to talk to my friends. He's like, wait, didn't you want a Heineken?
Yes, he has pigs
MLS
in a
cup brought to you by Heineken.
He has pigs in a blanket. He's fascinating.
Yeah, I really
need to hear what he's...
I'm like, I am a pig in a blanket.
So apparently Altidore, he is saying, he said, I know what happened. Quote, I know what happened. There is footage. You can't deny those things. The league is doing its due diligence. He said the video is clear. You can't argue with the facts. I'm not worried about it. You have to let the league do what it has to do with making that choice. I'm looking forward to being a part of both legs against Columbus. So these are bold statements. He feels like
he's trying to get in the five hole of that.
Of the disciplinary committee. Yeah, yeah.
Come on, they have a tape. They know what to do. What's on that tape? They know what's on that tape.
So, based on these comments, last week when we talked about Tunnel Fight, I was skeptical that Sasha Kljestan could have been this like reckless and crazy to like
right.
attack.
But then you remembered how he treated us at MLS Cup last year.
Oh boy. Now it all.
You know what's funny? I actually did forget that. And I was having a conversation with someone. They're like, isn't that the guy that was mean to you at MLS Cup? I'm like, he has it in him. That's right.
He's capable of evil.
Yeah, I think it was his fault now that I think back at it.
He started the whole thing.
God damn it. That poor Josie. That good choir boy Josie.
At some someone hug Josie recently?
I need to apologize to him and let him know that I'm so sorry I doubted him.
But based on how confident he is, I'm starting to think Altidore probably didn't have any, had every reason to, I guess, either defend himself or, yeah,
he's bluffing Columbus.
He's bluffing Columbus.
Columbus may be preparing for the team with Josie. And Josie is acting like, hey, don't worry about it. I'm going to play. You'll see me there. They got tapes. Knowing there are no tapes. Or the tape is of him just punching Sasha Kalesian while Sasha Kalesian is like
reading
religious text, you know, with two kids. But he knows that, and he knows he's not going to get to play the first one, sure. But he's trying to call a bluff, yo. He's trying to finesse.
Is Greg Vanney putting him up to this?
Yeah, Greg Vanney's like, here's the move.
This is the strategy we're going with, okay?
We can't win otherwise.
So that's the Eastern Conference final, and the Western Conference, which is going to be at 9:30.
Portland.
Portland is done.
Yeah, it's Houston. Houston versus Seattle.
It should have been Portland, maybe.
I wanted it to be Portland. I feel bad. If there's any Houston fans listening, we love you guys too, but we all wanted Portland versus Seattle.
I mean, let's be realistic. Houston against the Seattle Sounders.
That's going to be a big one.
We talked about it last week. It's not going to be a cakewalk for Seattle.
For either team.
Sure. I think the mentality, I think the Dynamo sort of identity has, especially throughout this playoffs, has been, you know, we know what we are.
Right.
We're not going to do anything fancy. Mm-hmm. Nobody's not mugging anybody. Yeah, okay. Yeah. We're just a little pass it to you, pass it to me.
We're going
to
stand right here.
Defend.
And we're not going to let you get over there.
So I think that that's kind of the idea. Also, some of the players for Houston are playing in the
Honduras. The entire Honduras team.
It's Houston
Dynamo, minus Cubo Torres.
So, you know, who knows what this first leg might look like. They might be,
be tough.
Yeah, Seattle's going to have, clearly, they're going to be, outside of Gustav Svensson, they're going to be way more rested.
Yeah.
Because, we don't know exactly what to expect, but I think if you're a gambling man or woman, you kind of have to go with Seattle, at least for the first leg, right?
You have to go with Seattle on the first one, and you have to kind of, I would assume you would have to go with Seattle pulling it through. I think the MLS Cup final is going to be a repeat of last year. I think it's going to be, obviously it's going to be in Toronto if Toronto wins, and I think Seattle's going to come in. I don't know. I think everything actually will go the same. I think Seattle wins it again. I think Sasha Kalesnik is a jerk to us. I think Juan Agudelo is mad cool with us.
It's just all deja vu.
Everything is exactly the same.
MLS Cup part two.
I think me, you, and Dave Moncion are going to be in an Airbnb listening to Liddy again.
just living our repeat lives.
Just everything's going to be exactly the same.
I would hope it would be in a different place just so we can get to see a different city.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be Toronto. If not, it's Columbus.
Yeah.
So for one last time. Well, they got next year.
Well, I mean, I would like to go. I've been to Columbus before.
I've never been.
It's
never had a reason to go.
It's a cool city. I had a good time there. I mean, Toronto is easily more fun.
Yeah. I think Toronto has more to do.
Sure.
Look at us trying to be really careful.
Don't want to offend.
Yeah.
Anyone.
Save the cup final trip. Speaking of Save the Crew, did you hear that a Brewdog, which is a small brewery, wants to be a part of the team that buys the crew?
I did hear this, and it's an interesting idea, but again, it sounds a little bit like what they do in Germany, right? With like the 50 plus one or whatever, yeah. Where they want to have the fans involved in ownership, yeah, of the club, which is a great thought.
All of them except RB Leipzig, which sure. Found a way around it.
But the
what if our executives were also fans?
It's a good strategy. Yeah. So I think it's a good idea, but again, what incentive does Precor have to sell the team to anybody?
He doesn't. And I hear they're starting a sort of like a land like studies in Austin already.
Okay.
So
So again,
they're doing feasibility studies at this point, and Columbus is like, yeah, but what about if a beer company buys you? Like, they haven't done anything yet. These are just thoughts. So, I mean, I think what's going to end up happening, I honestly think, is unfortunately Columbus Crew is going to move to Austin. They're going to become Austin Athletic. And I think a either USL or NASL or NISL, whichever one is still, you know, sort of out there. I think a team is going to start in that stadium.
Okay.
And hopefully they have the same colors. Obviously, they won't be able to be the same name. I beg that the badge does not have three men in hard hats.
Alexis wants five men in hard hats.
Five men.
We need more men in
hard hats. But how about this? That's it. Just hard hats. We call it Columbus Five Hole. The fact that we found a way to bring that around is disturbing.
Speaking of some of the lower leagues.
Thank you for just...
Some of the lower leagues, congratulations to the USL Cup winners, Louisville City.
Louisville City.
And the NASL winners, the San Francisco Deltas.
Yeah, SF Deltas, which might fold. It looks like the NASL.
What a reward.
Yeah, congratulations. And please pack your things.
Pack your things. Yeah. Get out of my office.
Yeah, before the second half starts, can we just look around and make sure we take everything we own? We can't leave anything because we're not allowed back in here at the end of the match.
Leave those pencils there. Yeah. Those are your pencils.
We sold that.
A lot of people are. That was the sort of weird thing. I did watch the USL final last night.
It was Lou City versus who?
They played.
Wasn't it like RB and Y2?
Oh man, who did they play?
I mean, if only we had these machines in front of us that could find out who they played. I didn't get to see it, but I saw a couple of the highlights that came up. So it looked pretty dope.
Swole
Park Rangers.
Swole Park Rangers, yes.
Yeah, which is Sporting Kansas City second. It looks like Atlanta United is not going to be partners with...